Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
Aren't you glad you got out of bed and got yourself to church this morning? Come on. We're so glad that you're here. Welcome back from Snowmageddon. How many of you still have snow at your house? We have like those awkward piles of snow where we live right now. Like, try to not drive over them when you're on the road. But we made it. We all braved the elements. We got out this weekend, so good for you for getting to church. And you guys can all have a seat. Man, it's so good to be here with you guys. We want to welcome anyone who's watching, obviously right here, you're here in Tacoma, but if you're watching at one of our locations in Bellevue or DuPont or even our online campus, we just want to welcome you, and we're so glad that you're here as well on this weekend. You know, if you remember pre-snowpocalypse, Pastor Kevin did a message called Healing Your Heart. You don't have to stay hurt. Did you hear that message? Were you here? If you weren't here, if you missed it, you can go on our Champion Center app or you can find it on our YouTube channel. Don't miss out on that message, okay? It is a phenomenal message. And then obviously last week, online campus, we all got to watch in our pajamas and we heard the Proving Ground that we heard from last fall. And we're actually, amazingly, they're all kind of tied together. But this weekend, we are going to continue that conversation on healing your heart. You don't have to stay hurt. So you can consider this, you know, kind of like your part two of that message. And first we have to talk about, what does the heart refer to, right? We need to all get on the same page with that. So heart in the Bible is often a reference to our entire soul and spirit. It's not just the physical heart. It's really our whole person, our soul, and our spirit. And so when we see in the Bible this idea of brokenhearted, it would be easy to kind of categorize it as, well, that's just for somebody who is, you know, mourning the loss of a relationship or mourning the loss of a loved one. But really, this idea of brokenhearted in the Bible, it applies to anyone who has ever felt hurt at any level. It really is a hurt that could be small, medium, large, extra large. Like, it's just any and every hurt is really what the brokenhearted is referring to in the Bible. So we're going to take a look at a few scriptures. Luke 4, he has sent me, Jesus is saying, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. In Psalm 34, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Psalm 147 says that he heals the brokenhearted. Say, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. This is a promise that we have, that the God that we serve, the God that we put our trust in, heals us. And he promises to heal the brokenhearted. So I looked up this word brokenhearted. I like to look up words. This is the Hebrew word. And I think you pronounce it shavar. It's like a fancy way. At first I thought it was shabar. And that's not how it goes, okay? So to break or to be broken, break in pieces, wreck, crushed, shattered. So when we read that Bible verse, God heals the brokenhearted, we could say God heals the crushed. God heals the shattered. God heals the fractured. God heals the brokenhearted. Now, the reality is that every single one of us is going to feel hurt at some level, at some point in our life. Everyone feels broken. Whether you admit it or not, whether you realize it in the moment or not, we all feel broken. But we're not created to set up camp there. We're not created to dwell there for the rest of our lives. Did you know that we are actually created to heal? I mean, let's just take our physical body as a cue. Most of us don't bleed out when we get a cut on our hand. Why? Because the science behind it and the God who created us created our bodies to put a little blood clot in the cut so that we would stop bleeding, and then it scabs over and the new skin gets formed over it, and then the cut is healed. You don't even have to do anything except don't pick the scab, right? Even our son, a couple years ago, our oldest son, this is like the G-rated version because the gash was so nasty on his eyebrow. You're welcome for those of you who have weak stomachs. G-rated bandage. He got a pretty nasty gash on his eyebrow, and 9 stitches later, this is just a couple days after he got those 9 stitches. But then look at this. This is just a couple weeks, maybe a few weeks after he got those stitches. And now, 4 or 5 years later, most people don't even know that he has a scar on his eyebrow. He sometimes even forgets which eyebrow it's on. He's like, Mom, can you show me? Why? Because we are created to heal. And if we take our physical body as a cue, we are created to heal in all areas of our life. And God promises us that He will heal us as well. So we have a truth that we want you to walk away with today. A hurt will always change you. But only you can decide how it's going to change you. A hurt, a pain, a cut, a fracture, a shattering, a hurt will always change you. Turn to somebody next to you and say, it will always change me. Now turn to your second choice neighbor and say, it will always change you. A hurt will always change you, but only you, everyone say me, only you can decide how, can you say how? Only you can decide how it's going to change you. We need to get comfortable with this idea that a hurt will always change us. Fact, truth, yes. Be okay with that. It's gonna happen. But the beauty of it, the magic of it, is that you get to decide what that change looks like. Is it gonna change you for the bitter, or is it gonna change you for the better? There's only one letter difference in that word, but it's a big difference in the outcome. Sometimes it's the small changes that make a big difference in the results of our life. You get to decide how that hurt. It will change you, yes. How is up to you. Let's consider the grape, for instance. The grape is perfectly happy being a grape, perhaps. It likes being a grape. It's sweet as a grape. But in order to become something more valuable, like wine, it must first be crushed. Look at a diamond. A diamond is just a piece of coal that did really well under pressure. It was coal, and the pressure came. And over time, out popped this diamond. The olive. It liked being an olive. It tasted pretty good as an olive. But when it allows that pressing to happen and releases oil, now it's something much more valuable as oil than what it was as an olive. Even a seed. Any seed that wants to become a thriving plant must first die to its current state and then grow in darkness before it becomes a plant. So if you feel crushed or pressed or under pressure or even isolated, can I just encourage you that maybe your story isn't done yet? Maybe God has a plan for you to become something even better, even greater than what you are currently in your current state. And maybe, just maybe, it's time for you to die to your current self and allow God to partner with you to become something of greater value in His kingdom, for His purpose, and His story. So when you feel that crushing coming on, when you feel that pressure coming on, you just tell yourself, I might be coal right now, but I'm about to be a diamond because I'm going to do well under pressure. A hurt will always change you. You get to decide. This lady right here, Miss Harriet Tubman, she said this, every great dream begins with a dreamer. Always remember, you have within you the strength, the patience, and the passion to reach for the stars to change the world. She wasn't the queen of a nation. She wasn't born into wealth. She was born into a slave family. She grew up a slave. She was sold many times. She was consistently ill because of the poor conditions. But she knew that she was destined for something greater. In her heart of hearts, she became determined to not allow her current circumstances to dictate her future circumstances. And she turned that hurt of her life into a pathway of healing to not only escape her fate, but bring others along with her. Do you know that she brought thousands of slaves to freedom? And she said, every dream begins with a dreamer. She turned a hurt into a healing. A hurt will always change you. Always. Only you are in the driver's seat of how it's going to change you. You can settle in the hurt. You can wallow in the pain. You can wrap yourself in it and get all cozy, comfy, and feeling hurt. You can. That is your choice. Or, what a powerful word. Or you can choose. You can decide to push through the pain, to keep moving, to not settle, to not allow yourself to stay in the hurt, to stay in the brokenness. You can decide to say, this hurt is going to change me, but I decide how it's going to change me, and I'm not going to allow myself to settle in the camp of disappointment or discouragement or brokenness, but I'm going to allow myself to partner with the Creator of the universe who promises that He's going to heal me, and I'm going to step into my healing. We're going to look at some of the same concepts from our first week through a different Bible story. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 18. We're going to read this together. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And so he called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Hey, Jesus is busy, bro. He's on his way somewhere else. Like, shh. What are you doing yelling, man? But he shouted all the more, Son of David! So Jesus stopped, and he ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, I want to see." So Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. So we're going to look at some of these verses and talk about them a little bit deeper. But the first point is, just because you've been hurt doesn't mean you have to stay hurt. We find this blind man sitting on the roadside begging. I don't know how many years he's been there, 10 years, 25 years, 40 years. We don't know some of the details of this story, but he has been at that roadside begging for most of his life. And he hears that Jesus, the miracle worker, is in the midst, is in his town. And he could have easily stayed sat on that roadside begging. He could have easily lived out the rest of his days as a blind man. But he decided that just because he was hurt didn't mean he had to stay hurt. And so he shouted for Jesus. And he shouted all the more. He had to go against his pattern. He had to go against his normal. He had to go against those people who were telling him to be quiet and to quiet down and to don't bother Jesus. He had to go against the culture. He had to go against those people who didn't understand what he was going after. He had to act like a fool. Jesus! Son of David! He didn't even know which way he was going, right? I mean, he's blind. He can't see. So Jesus could be over here, and he's like yelling this way. I don't know. We don't know some of those details. But he was yelling for Jesus. He shouted all the more. Maybe it's time for you, young person, to walk away from some of those relationships that have been holding you back, telling you you don't need to be with Jesus. You don't need to go to church again. You've been to church 2 times this month. What are you doing going again? Walk away from those relationships. Maybe it's time to stop meeting with those same women who keep gossiping over and over every week at lunch. Walk away. Be that gossiping group's dropout. Join a life group. Maybe it's time, sir, to stop hanging out with all the guys who are talking about cheating on their wife. Walk away. But he shouted all the more. When you're hungry for healing, there might be people in your life who don't understand. They don't think it's possible. They're waiting for you to fail. Maybe they're just trying to protect you somehow, because they don't want to see you hurt again. But he shouted all the more. I remember a few years ago, there was a friend of mine who went through a miscarriage. And she showed up at a mutual friend's baby shower to celebrate somebody else having a baby, even though her pregnancy had ended abruptly. And I know that people probably told her to avoid situations like that, trying to protect her. But she said going to that baby shower was the beginning of her healing. Just because you've been hurt doesn't mean you have to stay hurt. Find your pathway to healing. So he's shouting, and he's getting Jesus' attention, and Jesus stops. And he says, "Bring the man to me," right? And he's talking to the man, and he asks him this, like, totally in my head, unnecessary question. Right? Like, the dude's blind, and Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" I'm pretty sure I would have been the person like, "Yo, Jesus, he's blind." Like, Jesus needs help from somebody like me, right? What do you want me to do for you? But it's a valid question. Because not everybody who's hurt wants to be well. Some people who are hurt want to stay hurt. So if you're hurt or you're processing a past hurt, I just want to ask you the question, do you want to be well? Do you want it? Do you believe that God is who he says he is? Do you have faith for your healing? Do you trust God that he can heal you? Do you want to be well? There's a woman who goes to our Tacoma campus, and she was listening to a song with her family while they were praying for her husband to be healed in the hospital. Just listening to the same song over and over again, believing for a miraculous healing. And her prayer wasn't answered like she thought it would be. Her husband passed away. And losing a loved one is hard. It hurts. We believe that he's healed. We believe that he is a resident of heaven. But losing your spouse, losing a husband, losing a dad, losing a loved one hurts. And she realized over time that whenever that song, that same song that they listened to in the hospital would come on the playlist, she would skip it. Skip. It's too painful. I can't listen to it. Skip. It's coming on again. Skip. There's too much hurt involved with that song. Until she was face to face with it at Celebrate Recovery one night. The team was singing it in worship. And she hated it. But she couldn't skip it. So she just stood there. And against every probably bone in her body, she told herself, I'm going to make myself worship, even though I don't feel like worshiping. And so she just stubbornly raised her hand while the song was going. And then she lifted her other hand, like, okay, all right, God, I'm going to try. I don't feel like worshiping to this song, but okay. And do you know that she broke down weeping because she realized that that season of unanswered prayers and that song had created a gap of her not trusting God. And it was in that moment that she decided to trust God again. She didn't feel like worshiping. She had baggage attached to that song, but she decided to push through the pain. She decided that just because she had been hurt doesn't mean she had to stay hurt. And she fueled her faith. And now she's helping other people with her story. Do you want to be well? Do you want to be well? That man knew. The blind man knew. He said, Lord, I want to see. And you know what? God can heal you everywhere that you hurt. Everywhere that you hurt. God can heal you everywhere that you hurt. Yes, he can heal you physically. He told that blind man, receive your sight. Your faith has made you whole. But God can also heal you emotionally and spiritually and relationally and financially. Wherever you hurt, God can heal you. Yes, you have a part to play, and yes, you have actions you can take, but God can heal you anywhere that you hurt. Jesus told the man, receive your sight. Receiving is an action. Jesus isn't some genie with a magic wand, like, you're healed. You're healed. You're healed. There's an action to it. The blind man still had to realize, first of all, he was blind. He had to be aware of his blindness. Hello. And then he had to receive the healing from Jesus. What do you need to do to put yourself on a pathway to healing. If you want to be well, what are the steps that you can take? Because when we do what we can do, God will do what we can't. When you do what you can do, God will do what you can't. If you do what you can do, God will fill in the rest and do what you can't. Do you understand today? You have a part to play. You have an action to take. You have a pathway to get your booty on, okay? But if you do what you can, God will do what you can't. People will either be hurt by your hurt or helped by your hurt. People will either be hurt by your hurt or helped by your hurt. This blind man immediately received his sight, praised Jesus. And then it says, everyone who saw also praised Jesus. It doesn't say that any of them were healed. It just says that they witnessed God at work in this man's life. And they praised God with him. Who else needs to witness your healing? If you're hurt or you're dealing with a past hurt, who else needs to witness your healing? When you walk that pathway of healing, it's not just for you. It's for the next person. It's for the next person. It's for the next person. Who else needs to witness your healing? It's not just about you. Yes, the blind man, this healing changed his life forever. Yes. And it changed those people who were around him, who witnessed it. It changed their lives forever. And today, this weekend, over 2,000 years later, it is changing our lives because we are witnessing God at work in this man's story. Who else needs to witness your healing? If you choose to stay hurt, the likelihood of you hurting someone else is so high because you are still hurt. But if you get on that pathway and on the healing process, yes, it's hard. Yes, it hurts to heal. Yes, you have to avoid picking that scab off. Yes, it is hard. You might have an open wound a few times while you're going through the healing process. But if you get on that pathway to healing, people can be helped by your hurt because you've been there. You can tell them, man, I was there 3 years ago. And this is what I did. I don't know if it'll work for you, but God really showed up in my life. I believe that you can find your healing too. Who else needs to witness your healing? So we've kind of come full circle that a hurt will always change you, but only you get to decide how it will change you. Ryan and I registered for glasses when we got married 13 years ago. We got 12 of them. Thank you. We have two left. They were glass, and they broke. And it's embedded in our culture. When something breaks, we throw it away. Because it no longer brings us joy. So we threw them away. But no wonder when we walk through a season of brokenness in our lives. No wonder we start to listen to the labels of people who might talk to us and put things on us, or even ourselves. We start calling ourselves worthless, broken, disqualified? What if they knew my whole story? What if they knew what I have been through? I don't deserve, I don't belong, I shouldn't be on a team. What if I actually showed up to Life Group and shared my story? I'm broken, or I used to be broken. How will I know that they'll still accept me? But did you know that there is a centuries-old practice in the Japanese culture that I think we should adopt into our mindset? You might have heard of it before. Kintsugi. Kintsugi is the art form of taking broken pieces of pottery and putting them back together with gold and glue. And they take all those broken pieces and they put them back into a whole piece and they make something more valuable than it was before it was broken. And they sort of put the scars on display. Look at me. I was broken, but now I'm no longer broken. Instead of hiding the brokenness, they actually highlight the fact that it used to be broken. I don't know if you're understanding this today, but when I heard about this, I was like, oh, God is like the original Kintsugi artist. He's like the ultimate Kintsugi artist, and he's not just doing it with pottery. He's doing it with your life. He's doing it with our lives, and he doesn't want us to walk around with broken pieces and say, I'm broken, I'm broken, I'm broken, I'm broken. No, he wants us to partner with him and allow him to put the pieces back together into a whole of greater value. He wants us to come together and say, I was broken, but God healed me. I was broken, but I got on a pathway of healing and God healed me. And now my story is of greater value in the kingdom because I can help other people. I'm not going to allow that hurt to change me in the negative. I'm going to change for the positive. I'm going to use my hurt to help other people. I'm going to put my brokenness on display. I'm going to highlight it and say, look what God has done. Look what God has done. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.